Now, it's a joy to be with you at Hanslope another time. It's a few years from I was here, and I enjoyed my last visit, and I appreciate being with you here this afternoon. Now, I would like to read a verse with you in the Gospel of Matthew. The Gospel of Matthew, and in chapter 18. The Gospel of Matthew, and chapter 18. And we're going to read verse number 20. Verse 20. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. Now, that will be our reading, and we do look to the Lord for his blessing. One of the great difficulties, perhaps, in the present time and present day and present generation is that there seems to be a great thirst for things that are perhaps novel and new. And sometimes people like things that are topical. And being a royal weekend, well, I'm not going to speak on royalty. But I want tonight, or this afternoon, just to try to get our minds focused on things that are very precious and very simple and very practical. And I would like to speak a word this afternoon just about the uniqueness and the wonder of gathering to the Lord's name. I think all will agree that it is a most difficult day in which we are living to maintain assembly testimony. And there is much to discourage. There are those who have been in fellowship and are no longer in fellowship, and that discourages many hearts. People who once were amongst us, and they have left. And then, of course, there are quite a number of people around us who are no doubt saved and do not gather as we gather. And I trust that too is a concern to all our hearts. So as we think about life, there is much to discourage us, and there is much to cast us down. We're living in a world where standards are just getting lower and lower, a very defiling and a very, very evil world. And so we come to this subject, and maybe you've just thought this afternoon, well, is that all an Irishman has got to say? For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. Well, I trust just to encourage you as best we can. And what we want to do this afternoon now, it's not as some people believe when we come to this chapter, we're not going to beat the big drum of brethrenism, because that will not do us any good at all. But I want to get your mind focused and your mind occupied on the wonder of one name. Because you will know this afternoon that when we think about a name, we think about a person. That is, you cannot separate the two. So when I think of Henry Ford, I immediately think of motor cars. When I think of Harry Ferguson, I immediately think of tractors. So those matters are very clearly and very, very closely linked together. And when you come to Matthew chapter 18, for where two or three are gathered together in my name, we know that the speaker is the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we want to be occupied for the moments that are my responsibility this afternoon with the person of the Lord Jesus. Because if we are to be gathered, and if we are to be maintained, and if we are to be preserved, I take it it will only be in the measure in the which we are occupied with the person and the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Why is it that people drift away? And why is it that it's so difficult at times to get people gathered together? Well, I think I could make a number of suggestions. One of them would be that people today are perhaps more occupied now with speakers than the word. And we're living in a day when people are more occupied with the venue than the word. And we're living in a day when people are more occupied with the program than the word. Now, we'd all have to search our hearts and ask ourselves the question, when we come to meetings now, what really occupies our minds? Is it the Word of God and the person of the Lord Jesus? Or do we gather because wherever you might be, there's a great venue, or there's a great program, or there's maybe a rather dynamic speaker? People drift sometimes to hear dynamic speakers, and mind you, there's no harm in having a dynamic speaker. We could do with one or two more by times, but however, the central focus now has to be the Word of God and the person of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I want to try this afternoon as best I can to stay away from things that are negative. You see, there are different ways of teaching. You can teach, you know, by what we call rubbishing the opposition. That is anybody who you feel's against you. You know what it's like when you take your car and you think you're going to trade it maybe for a different model, and you take a Ford car into a Vauxhall garage. He doesn't tell you anything at all about the Vauxhalls. No, he immediately attacks the model that you have. Now, you know, that's sometimes the way that ministry is given. And I feel that just drives people away. So we're not going to teach now today from arrogance. But we're going to try, I trust, to teach from conviction. Because if you believe something's right from the Word of God, then let us have convictions about it. And don't let us be embarrassed. You know, we're living in a day when people are almost embarrassed to speak about gathering to the name and to the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now let us remember that conditions are not always what they should be. We know that. And some people have taught that because conditions are not always what they should be, then the Lord is not in the midst. Well, I think the answer to that now is very clear when you come to the seven churches of Revelation. The conditions there were certainly not what they should have been. But the Lord Jesus Christ was still in the midst of his gathered people. He was the one who was walking in the midst of the golden lampstand. So we're not going to enter in today to criticism or any kind of scathing remarks. I want us to think now about this lovely verse. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. Now, why then do we gather to this one name? And why is this one name so important and so precious to us? Well, the first thing I want you to think about now is one name for salvation. And we're going to go immediately to Acts chapter 4 and verse number 12. You can take a note of these passages. I'll not take time to read them today. But you remember that Peter is standing up in Acts chapter 4. And Peter is preaching. And there just has been a man healed. And there's been a notable miracle. And all the people are wondering how this has happened. And Peter has told them that it's by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Now he says that's the reason this man is whole. And this is the reason that this man has been healed. There is power, and there is authority, and there is dignity with this name. And then he goes on to say, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. You know, I challenge all in the meeting this afternoon now, and indeed anyone that I meet outside, is there any other name that we preach in the gospel now? Is there any other name that we keep to the forefront and bring before, as it were, the eyes of sinners? Because the great magnetism and the great attraction in the gospel is a person, and that is the person of the Lord Jesus. And all of us this afternoon, saved by the grace of God, aren't we glad? Aren't we glad now that in our lifetime we ever heard the gospel? Doesn't it thrill your soul to think that we could have been out tonight in the millions of the world who have never heard, and yet by the grace of God and in the providence of God, we were brought up in circumstances and in families and in communities where we heard the gospel and heard the lovely name of the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. My own late father, now with the Lord, he was 26 years of age before he ever heard the gospel. And it came like a thunderbolt to him to realize that instead of traveling on the way to heaven, he was traveling down on the way to hell. Mind you, that was a tremendous shock for a man who was a churchgoer and dignified and upright to suddenly hear that all was not well. But you know, I'm glad that into our family the gospel came. And my mother so opposed and so bitter and vehemently opposed to the gospel. I thank God for the day that you got saved. I remember it well. And what a change it brought into our family. So when we think of one name, I want you to keep in mind now, Peter's little expression, the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. One name for salvation. You see, it's very simple, isn't it now? One name for salvation. We're not preaching Abraham or David or Moses, great as they were. There's just one who's been to the cross. And there is just one who has paid the ransom. There is just one who has satisfied God. And thank God, Peter could say, neither is there salvation in any other. There's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. And I want us to think now about the next little step along the pathway. I want us to think about baptism. About baptism. You will know the formula is found in Matthew's Gospel and in chapter 28. To go into all the world. And the gospel is to be preached. And then baptizing them in the name. In the name of the Father. And of the Son. And of the Holy Ghost. I want you all just for a moment now to recall the day or night or morning of your baptism. Going down into the waters of baptism. And we were just giving expression publicly. What took place at conversion. Identifying ourselves publicly with a person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I remember the night that I was baptized and going down into the waters of baptism, died with Christ and buried with Christ and raised again to walk in newness of life. Sometimes I wonder, and I ask my own self the question now, how are we all getting on with our baptism? Well, you might say it's 20 years ago, and it's 30 years ago, and it's 40 years ago. And maybe there's some of you here tonight, and I'll not be too sore on you. Maybe it's 50 years ago. But now remember, coming up out of the waters of baptism, you were publicly displaying and telling out what actually should have begun at conversion now in reality, walking in newness of life. I know, if you're anything like me, you've had many an up and down in life, isn't that right now? And there's been many a time when sin has had to be confessed. And we sometimes talk about grieving the Lord. Mind you, oftentimes we have to acknowledge we grieve our own selves. We're not what we would like to be even ourselves. But in our baptism, we're linked with a person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I want you to just to try very simply now to follow my little line of thought. One name for salvation. Peter says, Jesus Christ of Nazareth. One name for baptism, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. You will notice that when you go to the Acts of the Apostles, baptism generally there is in the name of the Lord or the name of the Lord Jesus. I take it that in Matthew's Gospel you have the formula, and in the Acts of the Apostles it's that name that brings to them the authority, the authority. When you come to Ephesians chapter 5, I want you to think then about another subject, and it is now the subject of prayer, the subject of prayer. And it speaks about giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. It's a great wonder to me now. I don't know how you feel about it. But it's a great wonder to me that Christians in the present dispensation have the privilege of entering the holiest. I do feel in the day in which we're living that the privileges that God has granted to us, we've lost the wonder of them. I was speaking a little word in an assembly yesterday in 1 Peter chapter 2. And I was just looking at those two matters that have to do with priesthood. Holy priesthood and royal priesthood. The holy priesthood offering up those spiritual sacrifices. And the holy priesthood showing forth the praises of Him who has called us out of darkness and into light. And I was trying to encourage the saints because it seems to be a tremendous problem in our day. We have so many silent priests. So many sit in assembly fellowship and occupy seats and never rise to give God thanks for His Son. I don't know what it's like here, but as I move around, I certainly make an observation that it seems to be a tremendous problem for people to get up and to give God thanks. Now, if I could help you in any way at all, I could give you three little pointers that I think would help you. If you had an example from the Old Testament for prayer, or for priestly worship and giving of thanks and so on, and the offering up of a sacrifice, you would notice that the man in the Old Testament, when he selected the animal and so on, he got everything ready at home. And then, on the appointed day, he brought it. And then when he brought it, he offered it. And you say, that's not too complicated. That seems to be very complicated in our day. You see, the difficulty is now, when we gather together, you would need to have it ready. Getting it ready at home. I take it that's the truth of 1 John, isn't it? The hearing and the looking upon and so on, and the handling with the hands, the word of life. And then you bring it. You bring it. And so many people, in my estimation anyway, they, at least what they bring, they never offer. They must take it away with them because they're silent now. Mr. McShane preached on one occasion in an assembly, and he was telling them the secret for prayer. And he said, you know, it's such a secret, very few people seem to understand it. But he said, I'll let you into it this evening, the secret of prayer. He said, when you come to a prayer meeting, pray. Pray. Now you see, that's very simple, isn't it? But people sit in silence. And they're sitting waiting. And I wonder what they're waiting on. Maybe you're waiting on someone else. Maybe you're waiting to be exercised. Well, I'm not so sure about that. Maybe someone would say, well, I've no gift. I don't think it's gift at all that's needed for prayer. No, no. It's out of an overflowing heart of appreciation and thanksgiving that saints should rise and to give God thanks. And you say then, well, what about the sisters? Well, I will not let you off today. You would need to have your little bit ready at home as well now. And you would also need to bring it. And as you sit in silence, you have the great privilege too of entering into the holiest by the blood of Jesus. By a new and living way. And I trust that from your heart silently you offer to God that thanksgiving that is due to His name for the wonder of His love and for the giving of His only Son. And you say, well, how will I do it? Ephesians 5 says that you'll do it. It'll be unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. I want you to notice that double expression now. God and the Father. I'll maybe make sure I don't get into hot water here. Some people teach very strongly that all prayer should only be to God. And of course they'll go to the Psalms and they lift out some of the prayers there. And they'll tell you that all the prayers in the Old Testament, they were all to God. Well, that's correct in as far as it goes. But when you come to New Testament teaching, we must remember now that it's not just Jehovah and God and the Almighty. But the Lord Jesus said, I ascend to my Father and your Father. Mind you, it's very precious for us today that we know God as God, but God is our Father. And I love it just when someone rises to give thanks, and they give thanks unto God and the Father, and it's in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. What an approach we have, and it's into the holiest. I want to just move on a little bit now, and I want us to think then about the Lord Jesus now in heaven as our great high priest. Now you keep in mind the name, Jesus Christ of Nazareth, the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. The name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And we're reminded in Hebrews chapter 4, we have a great high priest that has passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. What a glorious name. We have a great high priest, one who has passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. We're reminded that here is one who has touched with the feelings of our infirmities. And we know that just as a link to the Old Testament, to the priest there, he had the names upon his shoulders and he had the names upon his breast. I think the names were different. The ones that were on the shoulders were names according to birth. And the ones that were on his breast were names according to the tribes. And of course there's just a very slight difference in those names and in the order and so on. And as often has been pointed out, and I'll not delay with it today, the names upon the shoulders, one who is carrying us as it were, one who is the bearer of burdens, and the names upon the breast, the one who has us close to the heart. But I want you to think of that little expression in the Epistle to the Hebrews now. You can maybe go through Hebrews sometime and do a little bit of homework. It's not always reverent to use the name Jesus in the singular now. But there are quite a number of references in the Bible where it is in the singular, and particularly in the Epistle to the Hebrews, and maybe up till about maybe 7 or 9 times, you have that singular expression, Jesus. And one of them occurs in chapter 4, and it is Jesus, the Son of God. Mind you, that's a lovely name, isn't it? Jesus. God has given him a name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. You see, that's very interesting now. So, it's a name, one name for salvation. And it's one name for baptism. And it's one name for prayer. And it's one name for our great high priest. Now, that's really just my meditation, what I want to get across to you. I want to get across to you the wonder and the uniqueness of one name. And the simplicity of it. Because if you're just beginning to think, as I've been thinking in recent times now, would you substitute any other name in here? Would you put in any other name now? Would you put in any other name for salvation? Or would you put in another name for a high priest? Oh, you say we wouldn't. We wouldn't dare do that. No, that's all right. Well, keep following then. Keep following as best you can now. Here in the world there are many ups and downs, many difficulties, many problems. And we have the great high priest, that one who is touched with the feeling of our infirmities, and that one who ministers to the needs of his people. I remember our brother, Mr. Allen, preaching in one time on the Lord Jesus. And he took up his ministry in the sense of the link to Melchizedek in the Old Testament. That man who surfaces in Genesis chapter 14 and in the book of Psalms and in the book of Hebrews. And I remember him saying that when Abraham was returning from the slaughter of the kings and the king of Sodom was on the way to meet him, there was a man who got there before him and his name was Melchizedek. And Melchizedek ministry now, on that occasion in Genesis 14, you read it for yourself, it wasn't so much ministry at the right time, but it was ministry just in the nick of time. And you know, it's wonderful to think that the Lord Jesus Christ, as our great high priest, Jesus the Son of God, is the one who has passed into the heavens, and he ministers just at the right time and in the nick of time to the needs of his people. But then you see, there are times now, and we do sin. We do sin then. You say, what do we do then? Well, the first epistle of John, chapter 2, would tell us that if we sin, we have an advocate with the Father. I wonder who that would be now. Listen to what the Bible says. Jesus Christ, the righteous, or the righteous one, whatever way you want to look at it. Jesus Christ, the righteous. There you have it. You see, it's the same name. Wonder of wonders, it's the same name. It's the same glorious person. Here is one in heaven now to represent us and to undertake our case. And the Bible says, and if we sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. I know the expression is that you sin not, but if any man sin, there is one in heaven. And of course there is one on earth, the Holy Spirit, to lead and to guide us and to help us in all things. I want to just keep moving now, and I want you to think now about not just the advocate, but I want you to think about the Lord Jesus in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And we're reminded there now that he has become the first fruits of them that slept. Speaks about every man in his own order. Christ, the first fruits, the first fruits. This takes our mind to the wonder of resurrection. And as we think of the wonder of resurrection, we're absolutely assured that if Christ has been raised from the dead and Christ is in glory, then if he is the first fruits, the harvest is guaranteed. And I take it that the harvest will bear the character of the first fruits. And when we think of Christ in glory, one who is holy, and one who is exalted, and one who has that unique and distinct place, very soon you know where he is. You and I are going to be Christ the first fruits and the wonder of resurrection. Now, I'm going to pass on very quickly, and I'm just going to have one more before I return to this wonderful verse. I want you to think about him as a forerunner. A forerunner. That's Hebrews chapter 6. It says, whether the forerunner is for us entered, even Jesus. Even Jesus. I don't know what way you think. My mind maybe is a little bit strange at times, but you know, I love in my mind to picture a Jew standing close to the tabernacle, and the priests are all working, and the fire is rising from the altar, and he's looking with a little foreboding right down in to the tent, to the tabernacle of the congregation, and he realizes, you know, there's a place and I'll never be. In a real sense, I can never draw near. There's always a distance, and there's always a barrier. But you know, for us now, the Lord Jesus Christ, he's the forerunner, and he's entered in. And because he is the forerunner, you and I have the privilege too of entering into the holiest. I love that little expression. It's not the holiest of all. There are no two compartments in heaven, but into the holiest he has entered. Now to appear in the presence of God for us. And you and I have the great privilege of entering in. The exhortation to draw near and to come with boldness. Now, I know it's a very simple line of thought, but I want to just ask us all again. I really want you to get it into your mind this afternoon now. When we think about salvation and baptism and prayer and the high priest and the advocate, and the first fruits, and the forerunner, I want to ask you now, is there any other name you would like to put in? You say, we dare not. We dare not have any other name for salvation than Jesus Christ of Nazareth. You say, we dare not have any other name for baptism than the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. You see, we dare not have any other name for prayer when we offer our praise unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. You see, we would never dream of putting in any other name for the high priest than just what the Bible says. Jesus, the Son of God. You see, we wouldn't have any other name, would we now? When we sin, we would never make our appeal and think Abraham will do something for us. We would never make our appeal and think that David will do something for us. We would never make our appeal and say, well now, Moses, he'll do something for us. No, no. We bow the knee in confession of our sin and failures, and we believe with all our hearts that the Bible says there's one there, and his name is Jesus Christ the Righteous. He's our advocate with the Father. And he's the first fruits in resurrection. Christ the first fruits. And the forerunner for us entered in. Even Jesus. But then I want you to come to the verse now. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. Tell me now. To what name now are we going to gather? You see, I want to encourage your hearts. You see, we're living in a world when people say, well, you can't say, and you daren't say, and you mustn't say, and you can't be dogmatic, and you can't do this and you can't do that. You know what I often say? You can always do and say what the Bible says. And here in this lovely verse, I want to encourage the heart of all who are in assembly fellowship. And if you're not in assembly fellowship this afternoon, I want to encourage you to be drawn, not to a building, and not to be drawn to a program, and not to be drawn to some place that might have quite a dynamic speaker, and there'll be no harm with that. No, no. But ultimately, I want you to be drawn to the person of the Lord Jesus. Because unless you're drawn to Him, and unless you're occupied with the wonder of His precious name, I want to say now, with the ups and downs of assembly life, and with the ups and downs of family life, and with the ups and downs of business life, you will need to have your mind firmly focused on the person of the Lord Jesus if you're to be preserved and if you're to be kept. Now, it's not just a name. I want to try and bring these two together now. It's not just a name. You know, there are some wonderful names in the world and in society. When I was in business, it's quite a thing when you think of names for marketing and names for making things known and so on. I was quite intrigued some time ago. I just went into the kitchen in our home and a couple of my daughters were there and they had another friend with them. And just as I entered the door, I heard what I thought was quite a derogatory remark. And the remark was, "Fat face." My daughter's eyes just met mine, and she must have just saw the startled expression on my face. And she says, "Dad, it's all right," she said. "It's all right." She said, "We're looking at a magazine here, and it's a clothing magazine. And for the ladies who are all well interested in retail therapy, you will know that fat face is just quite a ridiculous name for a clothing label. But you see, it's very catchy, isn't it? And even someone like me, who's not often in the shopping business, I have remembered it. And just when I'm out and about, I notice now, when I was at school, you tucked your labels in. Now you wear them on the outside. And I notice that quite a few people have this name. And it's on the outside. You see, it's very catchy. But now it's just a name. Just a name. I want all this afternoon now very simply to think about a name. Now I want you to think about these words. I know you read them and you can quote the verse off by heart, but I just want to get into our soul and into our hearts this afternoon. The Lord Jesus Christ is a speaker. Now listen to what He says. He says, "Where two or three are gathered together in My name." My name. Now, did you ever think about that? I want us all to think now. And we gather together. We come together. We meet. What is it now that keeps us together and binds us together? It's the Lord's name. Now, you can't have His name apart from His person. And it's very difficult now to own His name and to disown His authority. You see, it's all linked together. So when we gather together, it's a wonder of one name. And it's a wonder of this glorious person. And we own His authority. We bow to His lordship. We own His headship. I take it that lordship has to do with divine ownership. Headship has to do with divine order. And you and I gather together. Now I'm old enough to remember days when buildings are not like what they are now. I remember going along to assembly at home and there were just the gas lights and in the centre of the hall a pot-bellied stove, and I'm not that old. And I remember going to those little meetings and I used to wonder to myself now, whatever do these men see in it? What brought men out of out of the pits in Lanarkshire in Scotland to gather in little buildings now. What brought the cotton workers out of the mills in the county of Lancashire into little buildings? What brought the farmers out of farms where I live in West Tyrone to gather in little wooden and tin halls? It was just the wonder of the name of the Lord Jesus, and occupied with his person, and a desire to remember him. Now I feel in the day in which we're living, we are losing ground. We're not losing ground on the great doctrines of the eternal sonship of Christ and all of... No, we're not losing ground in that fear at all. But I am becoming more convinced now that we're losing ground on the very simple matters of life. And we've just lost the wonder of gathering to the precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I appeal to all this afternoon now who are in assembly fellowship. Just yesterday now, when you gathered to remember the Lord, tell me now, when you came along, what was in your mind? And what were you thinking about? And when you took your place in the assembly, around the table, around the emblems, that's physically, you see it, and generally we sit around. But around the Lord himself, he in the midst. Now let us be clear now. What were you thinking about? Were you occupied with his person? Were you filling your mind with the wonder of his name? Were you thinking about that one that you heard about in the gospel? And that one who went to the cross, who in the world delighted the heart of God, gave himself a ransom for all at Calvary, offered that unique sacrifice, he both the offerer and the offering, calling to mind the wonder of prophets that wrote about him, the psalmists that sung about him, the historical books that are pointing forward to the coming Messiah. And he says here in Matthew chapter 18 and verse number 20, he says, where two or three are gathered together in my name, he says, there am I in the midst of them. You see, we're in the back foot, aren't we now? People will come along and they say, well, you can't really claim that promise, and you can't really say that, and then you go home and you begin to doubt, and you really wonder, and you know, we're all at sea now, aren't we? I do feel it as I move around. People are all at sea. Now, what's the problem? The problem is very simply this. We're living in a day now when we have lost confidence in the Word of God. That is, when you read a verse and it says something, I want to encourage you all now. You stand by it 100%. And you say to yourself, if the Word of God says it, that's it. Just accept it. Just believe it. Practice it. Enjoy it. And when someone comes along to you, you say, well, what would I do? You do what the Lord did. Do you remember the devil himself? He came. And the Lord Jesus, three times, he just brought to him the scriptures. Remember John the Baptist? He's languishing in prison, and the Lord never even came to see him. And so he sends a few disciples along, and he says, art thou he that should come, or look we for another? What did the Lord do? He says, go and tell John. And he just quotes the Old Testament scriptures that reminded them about the wonder of the coming Messiah. And he thought, now that'll still his mind. That'll settle his heart. The wonder of the scriptures. What about the two on the way to Emmaus? Did the Lord open unto them the scriptures? And their heart burned within them. And they went back and they were able to testify. This is really the Messiah. The Lord has been raised from the dead. Oh, the wonder of it. Christ in resurrection. Now, you might say, well, I maybe came here today in fear and trembling. You might say, is that really all you've got for us? Well, that's all I have today now. Just the wonder of the person of the Lord Jesus. And the glory of his precious name. And I want us all now to get occupied with a name. And I want you to think now about baptism, about salvation. And baptism. And the one who is our high priest and our advocate. And our prayers. And the one who is the first fruit and the forerunner. It's one name. It's the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And as we gather together then, just to ask ourselves a question now. Why should it be any different? I trust we'll just be convinced today that when we gather, it should still be one name. The name of our Lord Jesus Christ. You'll notice I haven't entered into all the people that are around and give them all a slating and a slaying. Not at all. That's not my business. What I want to do this afternoon is for you to be focused. For you to get your mind of all that is out there and get your mind focused on the person of the Lord Jesus. And gather to his glorious name. Own him in your life as Lord and Savior. And to be occupied alone with him. Now, in the mercy of God, we'll try in the next little session now, not just to think about the uniqueness and the wonder of his name, but we're going to bow in the next little session, try to follow on now about the uniqueness and the wonder of a divine gathering centre. But you see, you can't say there's a divine gathering centre in this dispensation. They had smoke and fire and all in the old dispensation. Well, we'll just see what the Bible has to say in the next little session. And I trust it will, at least for some heart in the meeting now, maybe confirm you where you are. Or maybe encourage you, as we were reminded in prayer, to take the next step. Maybe there's someone here this afternoon and you're saved but you're not baptized. Maybe there's someone here this afternoon and you're saved and you're baptized, but you're not gathered. I trust that the little word of ministry will maybe encourage someone just to keep stepping on in the Christian pathway in obedience to the word of God, owning Jesus Christ as Lord, joy in your own soul gathering to the one name, and I trust in the next little session, learning from the Bible, that there still is in this present day a divine gathering centre where divine persons dwell. And I trust the Lord will help us in these matters. And I trust we'll value and appreciate the wonder of one name. For where two or three then are gathered together in my name, the Lord Jesus says, there am I in the midst of them.